The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon, Tucson. I'm Ray Allen, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Bill's up in Alaska right now with his wife, and I'm sure they're having a wonderful time. If you want to follow along, you can go to buckmastershow.com, where you can get podcasts and all the information that you need on the Buckmaster Show. You can also follow Bill on his Facebook page. Just look for Bill Buckmaster, and I'm sure he's posting all kinds of cool pictures of the things that he's seeing along his journeys as he's taking a lot of them and enjoying himself, I'm sure. I'd like to thank Bill for letting me fill in for him here on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to have a lot of fun today. At 12:45, we'll be talking with Banner UMC about their recent recognition by the U.S. News and World Report as the best hospital here in Tucson and the second best hospital in the state of Arizona. But we want to start off the program with someone that I always love catching up with. Art Brooks is the president and CEO of the Arizona Broadcasters Association. He's led ABA for nearly 30 years and has many accomplishments under his belt there. In May of this year, though, Art announced that he'd be ending his presidency and at the Arizona Broadcasters Association. So it's always a good time to talk with Art about some of those accomplishments and what's happening in broadcasting here in the state of Arizona. I want to welcome Art to the program. Hey, Art, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good to talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you. The news is big right now. It's, Senator John McCain, of course, passed over the weekend, and right now he is in the news. And the whole country is remembering and kind of mourning the death of Senator McCain. I wanted to allow you to just have a minute to talk about your relationship with John McCain. I'm sure you've met him, and I'm sure he's kind of had an impact on you, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just now watching the motorcade. They just now are getting to the plane here at Sky Harbor to fly John and the family back to Washington, D.C. for a service and then burial at Annapolis there over the weekend. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. You know, I've had many visits with John over almost 30 years, and when he was chairman of the Commerce Committee in the Senate for broadcasting, there's not a single bill or issue we have that doesn't run through that committee. So he was everything went through his hands. And one thing about John, I got to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
My very last meeting with John was in 2016, and John announced to the delegation that I had of broadcasters, including Doug Martin, by the way.
Yeah, my boss.
back for a conference, and he had to announce to everybody that he says, you know, Art and I have been meeting since Coolidge was president. And I very kindly said, well, I think maybe you, not so much me.
Yeah. Maybe that's a little bit of an over-exaggeration there.
Art. I really have a lot of respect for John, and how could you not have respect for this man that went through what he did as a POW for 5 years and put his life on the line for our freedoms here in America, and he is a maverick, as he proclaimed, when he says something and makes a decision on something, you can take that to the bank, like it or not.
Yeah, he really means it.
He really means it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not what you want to hear if we're talking legislation, but that at least he had the candor to not say, well, let me look at it some more, or well, let me do the... No. He was very definitive and very clear about his position on all of our things, and I really respected that for him, even though a lot of the time it was stuff we didn't want to hear.
Sure, so, you know, that happens, but you know, it's rare that a politician, I guess, tells you what you don't want to hear, because it seems like they're always telling you what you do want to hear.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like that's what they think their job is these days, just to make sure that you hear what you want. from them.
Well, I think that's what separated John from most others. He was, you never had to wonder where he was on an issue.
No, you didn't. I remember, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with some of, with him in respect to, I've got to work with his comms team in this job here. And they were always some of the easiest people to work with. They always did a good job in allowing me to book the senator on shows and get him to talk to my people here. So I think that really is a direct reflection of his character. The people that worked for him were always very nice and very accommodating and did a good job in allowing me to connect with him and connect the people that work here at the station with him. And it's just, it's, you know, there are other people that we deal with and it's not the same. So you can tell that the people that worked for him really appreciated him.
He always had a great staff around him, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, talking about politics, you know, we'll move away from Senator McCain. But it's political ad season. We had the primary election this week, and there were a lot of surprises and a lot of things happening there. But it is political ad season, and we're moving into a time where the radio waves and the television waves will be chock full of ads. You know, it's going to be
and they have been for quite a while.
They have already, and they're going to be full of more because a lot of money is going to be pouring into Arizona. It's a battleground state. There's a lot of races that mean a lot with the Senate seat that's opened up because of Jeff Flake moving out of office. And I wanted to talk about political ads a little bit here, because this is an area where I'm not sure that many of the listeners are completely clued into. They know they're there, but it could be of interest, especially if as we head into November. There's a lot of care and attention that TV and radio stations have to use during the political season. Everyone from our sales team here, the traffic director here especially, and even people like me on the operations side have to make sure that everything goes smoothly, especially when you're in the political window and we're selling spots. We have to make sure that at the correct rate and that we're impartial when it comes to sales. So over the years at ABA, have you noticed any changes on how political ads have been bought and sold in TV and radio? And do you think it's gotten better or worse?
Well, it's actually been pretty static for many decades.
Really?
The rules have not changed that much over the years, and they're pretty clear. For instance, for radio and TV, starting 45 days from a primary election, they have to offer what we call a lowest unit rate within certain time periods. So stations have to be very careful about that rate, because if they happen to use a different rate or lower rate by mistake, then they now have to apply that to every candidate.
Yeah, and that could
so
be really tough.
It can be pretty tough, yeah. And so for all of your day parting, all of your different time periods that you have on the station, you have a lowest unit rate for each of those time periods. Mm-hmm. And they have to stick to that through the political season. And then for the general election, it's 60 days prior. That's the window for lowest unit rate for the general election. Yeah. So in Arizona, because our primary is so late, we're already in the 60-day window pretty much for the general. So we move right from one lowest unit rate period right into another.
And for us here in radio, you know, it's kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, because it brings money to radio stations, but you really have to make sure that you're on your game, that you're doing things correctly, because if anything goes wrong, you could be in trouble, and it could not be a good thing for you.
Yeah, and that can be the form of how you use your airtime from a talk show perspective or just a news perspective. If a candidate feels like they're getting slighted and their adversary is getting more airtime than they are, they can make a complaint. And most of the time, you have to go back and give them equal access.
Of course, and that's one of the things I've had to alert all of my board operators and show hosts and everybody to the way that the system works, just to remind them, you know, a lot of them know, but I've had to just give them that friendly reminder that if someone requests equal time, then they have to be obliged.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what we're talking about right now applies to the candidate themselves.
Of course.
If it's a commercial for paid for by committees or someone else, if they have a closing for just a couple seconds with the voice of the candidate, that makes it a candidate ad.
Sure.
Even though the rest of it may not have been. But there's some things we really need to be sensitive to this time of year. And my phone in particular goes off, and we have an attorney in Washington, D.C. that we offer for her time for free to our member stations when they have questions about political advertising. So we're equipped to answer any of the questions that come up and good. Any of those issues.
Yeah. And you know, we have to be accountable to the public, which is good. And I'm not
exactly.
complaining. We do a pretty good job here, I think, and other stations do as well.
Yep. So. And hopefully we're sending, you know, through the advertising and through the news coverage and through,
of course,
talk shows, we're helping the public cipher through so they can make better decisions.
Exactly, to make a better decision. And as, you know, radio and TV are supposed to do, especially radio, act in the public's good underneath the FCC's
absolutely.
Guidance. You know, that's our job. Okay, well, we have to take a break because I'm going to get to some ads, but they're not political ones. They're the ones that make the Buckmaster Show possible. But we are talking with Art Brooks, the president and CEO of the Arizona Broadcasters Association. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and Bill just raves about Mona's. Owners Steve and Sherry do a lovely job with their European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, and luscious brownies. I'm sure that everyone has a weakness for brownies. They're open for lunch right now. Make sure to head over there and maybe get a sandwich over at Mona's Danish Bakery in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can always go to buckmastershow.com for more. There is a link to Mona's Danish Bakery there and all of the other great people who support the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with more from Art Brooks on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and the Buckmaster Show.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than 24 Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and of course, your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. Buckmaster, weekdays, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 1220, Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring their historic downtown or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay and visit, go to southwestnewmexico.org. We are joined now by the president and CEO of the Arizona Broadcasters Association, Art Brooks. Thanks a lot for being with us, Art. We appreciate your time today.
Oh, my privilege. And you know, we had the honor in 2015 of introducing Mr. Buckmaster into the ABA Hall of Fame.
I know. It was awesome. Bill's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, and you're about to be one too, I hear.
Yeah.
and I hear weird. I hear the guy that created the Hall of Fame is a really good guy.
No, stop it.
Well, Art, I want to talk to you about NextGen TV. It's kind of exciting. I was reading an article about it on CNET today, and I've been kind of trying to keep up with what's happening in the TV world. And a lot of people may remember back in the early 2000s when we switched from analog TV to digital TV. Well, now we're moving in a new direction, right? I mean, Chairman Pai from the FCC was in Phoenix about a week and a half ago, and he was talking and seeing how next-gen TV works and seeing it in action. And it looks like it's going to be really cool, some of the things that you can do with what is really called ATSC 3.0, but they just call it NextGen.
NextGen, yeah. Well, Phoenix was the first market to premiere NextGen TV, and that was earlier this summer. And FCC Commissioner Bill O'Reilly was here for that. And the reason the chairman was here last week or week and a half ago was with Telemundo and Univision TV to help them through the look at the transition and how they're okay. going to handle it. It's still a few years away. Even though the technology is available right now, stations have to apply it into their transmitters, and it's not as complicated as analog to digital was. At least TVs are still going to function now.
Yeah, of course.
You had to go out and get a whole new TV. But you have to, for it to work and work properly in the home, you have to have a TV of 4K or above.
Got it.
Like the Ultra TVs now. So that's going to take some time for everyone to get up to speed and have that technology in their house. But when that time comes, it's going to be TV like none of us have ever seen. It's going to be interactive. It's going to be, you can scale it to what your likes are and your dislikes, I guess.
Yeah.
And right in your own home.
And this is all over-the-air TV. It's not like it's cable or anything. You don't pay for this.
No. This is free TV.
I think that's the exciting part for me, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, they'll know, they'll get a feel for what you watch, what you like, and you can actually customize that your TV set under that technology to be whatever you want it to be.
Wow. It's incredible.
And of course, they get to know you a little better, too, when it comes to advertising.
Yeah, but that's kind of the trade-off, you know? You get a product, and they get to know what you watch, I guess. I mean,
absolutely.
And it also helps, sales departments to be able to sell things.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great achievement for free over-the-air television and really excited about it.
So some of the features, as you mentioned, 4K high-resolution TV over the airwaves, free, which is great. But what I've been reading is that it works in conjunction with the internet somehow. Do you know how that works out?
I don't totally.
Okay. Yeah, it's like I couldn't really find an answer on that in the articles I was reading. So
that'll be
fascinating. But they have better sound processing.
Yep.
Better sound processing, better fidelity there.
And the picture is just, I've seen the demo like at the NAB convention in Vegas this last spring. And it's like nothing you've seen on TV.
I'm sure.
You know, digital is great. And that took us to a whole nother level. But this, the picture, the everything is going to have more depth to it. It's going to have, it's just very, very different than anything we've seen.
Okay, so all of this is exciting. There's a lot of hype for what could happen. But there are maybe some drawbacks in how you implement it, right? The adoption of the system under the current FCC leadership, they're saying basically it's voluntary for markets, right?
It is voluntary, but you don't want to be left behind either.
Of course, because there's a lot of incentives to get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's an important point because it's not like the analog, the digital TV stations had no choice.
Yeah.
Either stay in the old technology or move to digital. They had to do that. They were under guidelines and government. There was legislation passed that put that into motion by Senator John McCain, as a matter of fact.
Oh, there you go.
Back in the mid-90s, he started the ball rolling. Yeah, in 1996. And it was supposed to take 10 years. It actually took 13 years. This will be nothing like that. It'll be seamless. As stations go online with next-gen TV, you'll just see the difference and be able to apply it right away.
It's more like an upgrade rather than a complete transition. I mean, I remember what it was like to transition from analog to digital, and it was difficult.
Remember the set-top boxes?
I do, yeah. So for cord cutters, this is kind of good news. I think it's kind of like a dream come true because it could mean you get, obviously you're getting free TV over the air, but do you think it'll bring more people who had transitioned over to cable back to over-the-air TV and provide more options that way?
Absolutely. I think it really will. And that's the whole point. But here in Phoenix, and I think Tucson might be similar. I don't know what the percentages are right now for the Tucson market, but here in Phoenix, about 22 to 23% of viewing of television is now done over the air.
Well, I'm sure it probably is even higher here. Because
I would think so, yeah.
I think it would be higher here. It's a lot of people rely on it, especially inside the city limits, and it's an important it's important to people because they don't necessarily want to pay gigantic cable bills. But for a person that cuts the cord, they could maybe have a Netflix account and just have over the air TV and pretty much be covered.
There you go. That's it.
I wanted to talk a little bit about they're saying that it's going to be possible for this to be on mobile devices and stuff like that. But one of the things that we saw with the FM chips in phones was that they weren't really willing to turn them on in the phones, or they had them in the phones, but they didn't turn them on because it's competition for them. There's questions as to whether or not the mobile device makers and even the service providers like AT&T and Verizon will want to have free TV in the devices that they create.
Yeah, that'll have to be ironed out in the coming years. I just don't know how that's going to work out. In my mind, I don't think they're going to see it as competition. They're going to see it just as a better product than what's on their platforms right now. So I'm hoping that's the case anyway. In the FM chip, right after 2019, in the new year of 2019, all the companies will be online, allowing it to go live, except for Apple.
Oh, okay. So there's one. So yeah. An iPhone won't have the ability. Won't have the FM chip.
They can. You can have it on the phones they sell, but you just can't activate it.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Now with next gen TV, you're saying that we're a few years out. The CNET article I was reading said about 2020 or Christmas of 2020. So looking more like 2021. Do you think that's kind of reasonable?
I think that's good. You know, stations are having to retool and re-equip and figure out, you know, the engineering from right from their tower all the way into the building, and there's a lot of expense involved there. So that's what the phase they're going through right now.
Yeah,
but I think those dates are pretty close.
Good. It's a cool time, you know. If you're
it is.
Into broadcasting, as of course I am and you are, it's fun for us.
I've always loved it. There's nothing like it.
All right, Art Brooks with the Arizona Broadcasters Association. Hang on for me again. After the other side of this break, I want to talk about you, because you're in the news a little bit. You're stepping down from your position over at ABA, and we appreciate all you've done over these decades. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Art when we get back on the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for Bill, who's on vacation. We'll be back right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 12:34, Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Some exciting news from Green Things. Zocalo Fine Mexican Imports is now located on the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. With all the great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America, be sure to check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs and go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. I want to welcome back Art Brooks, who is the president and CEO of the Arizona Broadcasters Association. Art, as we mentioned before, earlier this year, you decided to step down from ABA, and you're going to be transitioning to a new leader by the end of next year, I believe. I kind of want to talk about some of your accomplishments over the, what is almost 30 years here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's been a great honor to lead the industry. And I never had any idea when I took the job that I'd be here this long, actually.
Oh, really?
But
things turned out different for you.
I came out of radio. What's that, Ray?
I said things turned out a little different than you had anticipated.
Yeah, and for the better. It's just been a great, great ride. And we've accomplished a lot of good, I think, for the communities that we serve. And our member stations have benefited from things that we've done. We created Amber Alert back in 2002.
Yeah.
And that's been a great achievement. We've done the programs that we've done for under the banner of saving and changing lives have been the crystal meth education program back in 2008. And then in 2015, we did Hooked, Tracking Heroin's Hold on Arizona. And then last year, 2017, we did the Hooked on prescription drugs, prescription to addiction was the name of that program.
And we took part in not the first one, I don't think, but the last two here on KVOI, we took part in that. Was it your idea, or had you seen the model before of basically getting one show on almost every radio and TV station in town?
Do you know that we're the only state that's ever done this?
Really?
We've done it three times, yeah. And I can't really explain that. I talked to my colleagues all over the country and other state broadcast associations, and they just, for some reason, it just hasn't happened anywhere else. So how I got into it was a couple of friends of mine. Paul Pinzone, who's now the sheriff of Maricopa County, was one of the guys, and Andy Hill from Phoenix Police Department. But I started educating me on the problems and the issues with drugs coming across the Arizona border and what it meant to the population from an addiction standpoint, and which affects everything. It affects economy. Mm-hmm. It just affects everything. Family health and all that, all those issues. So we buckled down and started meeting with people like the head of the DEA here in Arizona,
yeah.
The head of a group called HIDA, High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, and we brought all these guys together on a team. And when I started looking at the facts and figures of what was going on, I thought we've got to do something about this. So, and that led into the development of the programs, and we had call centers going along with the program those evenings, and a lot of people had their lives saved or changed those nights, I'm convinced.
And you partnered with Cronkite, right, up at ASU?
We did, for the two Hooked programs. And we're the only state broadcast association in the country to partner with their journalism school the way we did there. And they were very agreeable. And so, you know, for broadcasters accepting the fact that it was going to be a student-produced program, but led by some really top-notch professors.
Yeah.
They were willing to take that risk, and it worked out just great.
It did, and it was really cool because I remember when I left the station, I think it was the Hooked on Heroin one that was produced.
Uh-huh.
And I was just going through the dial, you know, to see how many stations that I had it programmed on my radio were actually playing it. And I think every single one had it on. And it was awesome to just see that everyone was kind of involved and that everyone had, like, a resolve to get this problem fixed.
Absolutely.
And bring awareness to it.
Great awareness, yeah. And people still talk about it a lot, and it's still meaningful to I know right now we have a campaign running through the governor's office of youth, faith, and family on opioid education right now.
And I'm sure what you guys did with the opioid program that you put on helped to bring awareness to that and get the attention of people. Now, absolutely. I had talked about earlier at the Hall of Fame, and the guy that created it was you.
not by myself.
Not by yourself, but
guys helping me out, yeah.
But you started the Hall of Fame, but there's more to the Hall of Fame than just giving out awards to broadcasters in Arizona, right? I mean, there's a little bit more to it. So tell us about what the Hall of Fame, the Broadcasters Hall of Fame in Arizona does.
Well, number one, it's to honor those that have not only done well in the industry and have had a huge positive impact in the industry, but what have they had in the community, and how did broadcasters around the state impact their communities? And that developed into the Hall of Fame, and this will be the 29th Hall of Fame on October 11th. At the Talking Stick Resort here in Scottsdale, and people come from all over the state to for this launch and to see the honorees, and it's just been a great thing. J.D. Freeman, who used to run, he was the guy that created Camel Country here in Phoenix, and Ron Bergamo, who started the WB station in mm-hmm. Tucson, as a matter of fact. Many, many years ago, and Ron's a U of A grad, and then he ran Channel 10 for a long time here in Phoenix. But he and JD and myself and a gentleman by the name of Norm Ginsberg, who was with CBS Radio out of New York for about 35 years, and then he settled here in Arizona. So that was the team, those three guys and myself. And I went to them and I said, "Hey, we need to do something to honor these guys." And there you go. That's why it was created. And you know, there aren't many things that it's done in our industry that last that long.
No, I know, right? So. It seems like everything kind of moving around and changing. And also, it helps.
Get on to the next thing.
It helps to give scholarships to journalism students, right?
Yeah, without the Hall of Fame luncheon and event, we could not afford our scholarships at Cronkite School, NAU School of Communications. We're creating a new program right now, by the way, at U of A.
Oh, really?
In the Eller School of Business.
For broadcasting?
They have a sales club within the Eller School. These are students that have decided that they want a career in sales of some type.
Okay.
And then there's a percentage of that group that are looking at advertising sales. So we're developing a program for them to learn what that's all about for radio and TV.
That's great. Super.
And the ABA will be scholarshipping all those students.
Wow, very cool. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you're one of the inductees in this year's Hall of Fame. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I never saw that one coming. So that's going to be a great honor and really, really excited and looking forward to it.
I think we all are. And you know, we just want to thank you for all that you've done as the president and CEO of ABA. You know, over the years of me being here, I've gotten to talk to you quite a bit, and I've worked with you on the Hooked program and the other programs that you've done. And I think that the Hall of Fame recognition is well deserved, sir.
Thank you so much.
you're welcome.
Thanks, Ray.
You're welcome. It's been a good time talking to you today, Art. And I really hope you have a good day, okay?
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Art Brooks with the Arizona Broadcasters Association. He is the president and CEO of ABA. And as we mentioned before, he is going to be stepping down at the end of the year here from his role at the ABA. But, you know, it's been very nice to get to know Art over the years that I've been here, and just super, super cool all the things that he's been able to do in the community. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. He's up in Alaska right now. If you want to follow along with what Bill's doing, go to his Facebook page, and it'll be there. Podcast of this show is going to be at buckmastershow.com and everything else on the show at buckmastershow.com. Be back after this with Banner UMC.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Many people ask me what it will take to make our community a better place. Well, it takes all of us. Our greatest resources are retired people with a lifetime of experience, skills, and resources that could be used to transform our community. Many of you come from somewhere else and haven't fully connected. Our community needs you and needs you now. I encourage you to find a nonprofit or church and join them in helping to transform Tucson. Your retirement could be the most productive time in your life.
Good afternoon, Tucson. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Ray Allen, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and ready to now move on to a new set of guests here on the Buckmaster Show. Banner UMC was recently named one of the best hospitals here in Tucson, the second best in the state in a new U.S. News and World Report ranking that was released earlier this month. Right now, we're joined by Banner University Medical Center CEO Sarah Frost and the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Dr. Irving Krohn. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, glad to be here.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Sarah, I want to start out with kind of a neat community story. Almost a couple of years ago now, Tucson Roadrunners hockey star Craig Cunningham suffered a sudden cardiac arrest right before a game. I'm sure you remember that. And he was taken to Banner UMC, where he went through some really intense surgery and recovery at the hospital. And, of course, this is in the news again because recently Craig's brother Ryan rode through Canada down to Tucson and ended his journey last week at Banner. And Ryan was raising money for the All Heart Foundation. And stories like Craig's occur every day at Banner UMC. You just don't always hear about them because they're not obviously high-profile people like Craig. And something like this, I think, really highlights the work that you all do there. And the situation really could have been bad, but Banner was there to help. And you do stuff like this on a daily basis, right?
You know, we do, and it's pretty remarkable. Thank you for sharing that story. You know, one of the things that is so amazing about our campus, and actually both of our campuses, is the amazing individuals that we have that care for our patients, our faculty, our staff. The dedication that we have here is bar none, some of the best that I've ever seen. And you're right, our faculty that we have here are doing some amazing things, both clinically, from a research and education perspective. And those are just some of the things that we do on a daily basis. But I will add that that Craig Cunningham is also a pretty extraordinary individual, and really both from personally and really just the strength that he has to really give back and to also persevere has been really amazing.
Tell me about some of the areas where Banner UMC was really able to shine in this new U.S. World Report ranking. Obviously, number two in the state in a lot of categories and number one here in Tucson.
I think we show off in a lot of different things, but no, nonetheless, in terms of the U.S. News and World Report, we're honored to be recognized among three different specialties, gynecology, pulmonology, and nephrology. But also, additionally, we also have some high-performing areas, which include cancer, diabetes, endocrinology, GI, GI surgery, and geriatrics, as well as heart failure and colon cancer. So we're really proud and really pleased of the rankings and the outcomes that we have here at Tucson campus.
In a lot of those areas, you know, everyone, I think, is affected in those areas. My mother had colon cancer, and I've also had to have some neurology people in my life. So it's one of those things where no one is unaffected by medical issues, and they all have to deal with them. But when you know you have something in your community like Banner UMC that is kind of a shining star, it's kind of reassuring in a way.
Yeah, Ray, we all get something, so it's important that we can provide the best care possible, and it's I'm very proud of the crowd we have here.
Of course, of course. Dr. Krohn, you're with the U of A College of Medicine. I want to talk about the educational portion of this. You work with the university, you partner with Banner UMC. How long have you been with the U of A College of Medicine now?
Just a month. I came from the University of Virginia, and I came here because I thought we had an extraordinary group.
Of course. So everyone in Tucson really benefits from having a place like Banner here. Talk about the partnership with the college and with the Banner UMC.
Yeah, I see us as one entity. You know, Banner Hospital is a big part of our clinical entity, and the reality is that we have to work together. And I think we're working together now better than ever. Sarah and I make rounds together on the floors. We see how the nurses are doing, how the physicians are doing, and we all tie together. Our educational programs are part of what we are. We're trying to train the next generation, but for the individual patient, you got a lot more eyes on you to help look after you if you're sick. And I want a lot of eyes on me when I get sick.
We all do, don't we? I mean, it's one of those things that's just so important. If you're going to be a patient, everyone at some point or another, I think, will be. Patient care is one of those areas that you focus heavily on. Tell me about what a patient at Banner UMC can expect if they have to go to the hospital.
So what can they expect? They can expect a warm, welcoming environment. They can expect some of the top medical professionals caring for them. both our physicians, our nurses, our pharmacists. We really act as one care team caring for the patient. And I think, you know, as Dean Krohn was just mentioning, there are a lot of eyes on the patient. So we do have a lot of learners that are here, but that makes for what I believe is a great medical experience. So we have some of the best caring for our patients. But I think also looking really towards the future as well, if you're not aware, we also have our brand new tower that is under construction. And we'll be opening in April of 2019. And one of the things that we're really excited about as you look towards the future is what people can expect in the future as well. I've mentioned that we have some of the best individuals caring for the patients, but soon they will have one of the best facilities, state-of-the-art, here in Tucson for our community and for our patients. So we're really excited about that.
I'm sure. I was looking at some of the projects that you have under construction. It's really an exciting time now. And I think technology is one of those really important aspects of this. And you're going to start incorporating more and more of that, I suppose, as we move along with these construction projects.
Absolutely. I would say in everything that we're doing, we're advancing, we're bringing in the best, we're bringing in state-of-the-art technology to ensure that our physicians and our nurses and our care professionals have the latest technology to care for our patients. And new things are coming out, new technology is coming out all the time. And we're really just fortunate that we're able to take advantage of that and have this here in our backyard.
It is really a great asset for us here in Tucson. Now, Dr. Krohn, I want to talk a little bit about some of the groundbreaking medical research at the University of Arizona. Just tell me some of the areas where you're trying to make medicine better for those of us who have to take it.
Ray, I love talking about this subject. This is one of my favorites because it's one of those things I've learned what's been going on here. So we have Robbie Brinton, who runs our brain center, and she right now is doing trials on cures for Alzheimer's disease. Can you imagine?
And that'd be great.
Honest to God, it's amazing, the stuff. I've never seen anywhere in the world what she's able to do. She has some stuff working on multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's. And as you know, the aging population gets all these diseases. So she is, you know, well ahead of the curve, and I'm dazzled with what she does. We have a Dr. Pappas, who's going to work out a cure for diabetes. He has a way of using stem cells and islet cells and protecting them so you don't need immunosuppression and all the complications that go with that, to basically put a little thing in your arm so your diabetes is cured. You know, which is truly fantastic. You know, we have other groups that are working on different kinds of interventions, different forms of artificial heart, different forms of catheter-based therapy, so you don't need your chest open for heart surgery and things of that sort. We have a group, Dr. Goldman, who's doing some stuff about putting cells on the heart to make the damaged heart beat better without having to transplant or put an artificial heart in. So we got all this great stuff going on, and that's what's so cool about a place like this.
Of course, and when you have a place like the University College of Medicine, it really is a draw for Tucson. It brings in some people who want to learn how to be doctors and physicians, and it brings some of the best people here to town. It's something that benefits Tucson. It's kind of a win-win situation.
Yeah, I believe that everyone benefits from these kind of things. You know, the concept is from bedside to bench. That is the research, and then back again, and that's what we deliver here. And it's, you know, everyone gets better for it, the patient themselves, the learners, the community, because if we can provide these things, it brings folks here to be looked after not only by the physicians and nurses and so on, but they have to stay in town, they get to eat in our restaurants, and they get to realize how pretty Tucson is.
They do, and it really is pretty, and it really is a great community. And I welcome you to it. It's crazy you've only been here for a month, but it looks like you have a lot of good stuff to get used to here in the Tucson area.
Yeah, they keep me going here. I have visited about everybody on earth, so I'm sorry I haven't visited you, but I have visited about everyone else.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it, man. We do all right down here, and we have you on now, so that's what's important. All right, guys, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I think it's just awesome to highlight some of the good things that you're doing at the University of Arizona and at Banner UMC here in Tucson. And it really has been a pleasure to have you on the Buckmaster Show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
We've been talking with Banner University Medical Center CEO Sarah Frost and Dr. Irving Krohn with the University of Arizona College of Medicine. All right, everybody, I want to thank Bill Buckmaster for allowing me to fill in for him on the Buckmaster Show. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, Dan Shear with the Friday Focus interview, and then Bill Buckmaster will be returning to the airwaves, of course, after our holiday Monday with a live show here on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice, again, I'm Ray Allen filling in for Bill, and we'll see you again next time.